And right now it's time to say good morning to Peter Allam on this Monday morning. Peter, very good morning and welcome to the show once again.
Yes, Wayne. Morning to everybody out there listening to us. So nice to hear people, more and more people telling us that they do stream it. They listen on Alexa and things like that. I think I say this every week.
Yes.
On the weekend again, I was away. I was down at Trenary's and people said, oh, that's right. We listen to Barthos FM because that's all we can pick up out here.
Right, on the stream.
So fantastic to know. Anyway.
Great.
Yeah, today we're going to talk about evictions. You know, there's three sides to evictions always, in my opinion. You get the side of the tenant who always has a story. Could be right, could be wrong. You get the story of the landlord himself. Could be right, could be wrong. And then you get the story, of course, of the law, which is what the position is. So if we start, first of all, let's have a look at what the law says. You know, the law says that you don't have to enter into a written contract. It can be verbal. It's not advisable, though.
Mm.
So one of the important aspects right up front is make sure you have a proper written lease in place so that there are no hassles when it comes to arguing with each other or something goes wrong. So the standard legal position is such that you have a right to have a lease. If you're paying a deposit on a home rental, you have the right. We're going to talk mainly home rentals today. You're going to have the right to have your deposit paid into an interest-bearing account, interest for yourself in your name or possibly in the name of the owner, but that is purely for you. And you can demand at the end that you are shown the account where it was placed in and the interest that you earned. Beware, though, because your lease agreement may say that if you're a naughty person and don't pay something, they can deduct it, and then you've got to top it up and that type of thing. So a proper lease agreement will tell you the term of the lease, the conditions of the lease, the rental amount, the escalation, what the position is with utilities, water, lights, rates. Make sure you cover things like rates and that. You don't want at the end to say, oh, we said you must pay all expenses, and then they come with that.
Yes.
Often you get people in homeowners associations and they say, okay, you can lease the property, but you must pay the monthly levy for us together with the water and lights and other utilities. We'll pay the rates. You know, those are the different terms and conditions that can happen. So a lease agreement will give you an outline of what is necessary, what happens should you fall into arrears, what must happen with the eviction process and all the rest of it. So that's basically coming back to the second part of the law, is that you need, you know, if you own a property and for some reason you need the parties that are in the property to vacate, or you say in arrears and you want to eject them, you need to make sure that you follow the proper eviction process. You know, it's not illegal to evict a tenant, but it's often a long and complicated process in my eyes. You know, they can only occur if there are legitimate reasons for it. One of the legitimate reasons can be that the owner wishes to return to his property, for example. That is a common one that happens. You know, people move out of town, get posted back to the same town, and then, you know, that's what the position is. So let's ask the question, why would you evict the tenant? So if the tenant does not pay his rent in full or on time and he has arrears, you have a right to start the procedure to eject him. If he does not move out of the property at the end of the lease period and you haven't renewed it, you have a right to terminate it. You have a right to go to court. Interesting one is that if anybody is involved in any criminal activity or legal sale of drugs or the like, or, you know, ours is something that's not allowed, sells gas from the house or something in a rural area, or opens a spaza shop and that type of thing. So if it's any form of illegal or criminal activity, you have a right to eject them. If he damages the property, the tenant, or shall I say they, it can be a he or a she, wear and tear is not the norm, so let's just say that he starts renovating your house or building something on, you know, you have a right to evict that tenant as well. So we go back on with the law. Well, how do we go about it? What is the correct procedure? So the correct procedure is that the first thing is that you need, you know, invariably I say to people, go and chat to the tenant, tell them what they're doing wrong, put it in writing and tell them to correct it. If they don't correct it, or if you're adamant that you want them out, you've got to go through the process. And step one is to send a letter of demand. There is a period that it needs to be done, explaining what the breakdown of the agreement is. If it's in an agreement or if it's a verbal lease you have, you've got to give them. It's usually, I think it's 20 days that you've got to give them. So it's quite a lengthy period. And it's 20 business days, which means that
working
it's huge
days.
Saturdays and Sundays. So it's almost a month's notice, the time frame, to fix the breach and to get back on track. So the time frame is important. So don't keep leaving it. Don't keep saying, he says he's going to fix, he says he's going to fix. So that letter of demand is the first part, and that's very important. The next one, of course, is the court process, which is the summons. Now, you've got two types of summonses. The court, some of them just allow a straight application to evict. You know, you get an eviction order, it has return dates, serve it on the tenant, and the tenant must come back within 14 days to show cause why it should not be proceeded with. That needs to be delivered by the sheriff as well. The messenger of court must do that. It can't be done by way of you just taking a summons to the person and that type of thing. So if the tenant goes to court, then obviously it becomes a defended action and the court will hear it. Mm-hmm. And unopposed, it could take something like another month or two. If it's opposed, you could be there for 5, 6, 10 weeks, whatever. Mm-hmm. So careful. Like I always say to people, once again, you know, doctors are there for medical reasons. Attorneys are there for legal reasons. Mechanics are there to fix cars. So make sure you go through an attorney to sort it correctly. Mm. You can do a DIY job. There's nothing to say you can't. But if something goes wrong and you don't follow the correct procedures, you're in for a long, long time trying to get rid of your tenant. Mm. So be careful. And the worst thing is that you've got two situations where tenants are actually protected. You know, the rights and responsibility of the property owners and their tenants is such that the South African Constitution says everybody has the right to have access to adequate housing.
Yes.
So, you know, it won't permit arbitrary evictions. You just don't like a person anymore.
You just hoof them.
Somebody finds out that Joe Soap has offered you 5,000 and more for your house. Those type of things won't be entertained. You know, the magistrates are very strict. They want to know why you're ejecting, what has gone wrong, what is happening. So be careful over there. And of course, you've got what we call the PIE Act, the Prevention of Illegal Eviction from Unlawful Occupation of Land. You know, that's all over the show at the moment, and it comes in. Mm. Then, of course, you've also got that place that you can go to called the Housing, Rental Housing Act, and the you know, that will look after you as well. Mm. You can go to Housing Associative in Cambridge in East London, and they will assist. They're very good. That's quick and invariably gets proper results there as well. Mm. And then, of course, the Consumer Protection Act fits into the situation as well. You know, it has the rights and, you know, what the tenants are entitled to and what's relevant to tenants. You know, the rights to privacy, choice, disclosure of information, fair and honest dealing, good quality, safety in the home that you're renting and that type of thing. That can also be implemented. So, you know, when you're going to do an eviction, make sure you're doing it properly from the law side of things. If you're going to oppose it, you've got to be careful as well. You know, if you intend opposing it, you've got to give notice to oppose it. Once again, you should see an attorney if you believe you have a good defense. If you're going to do it yourself, make sure you don't miss the court date. Mm. Make sure you're there to sort that out. And funny enough, I shouldn't say it here, but you have a right to emergency housing. Mm. So, you know, if you're going to become homeless, that's why you've got to serve it onto PCM and that type of thing when you do an eviction, so that if the person has nowhere to go to, that at least the PCM must provide you with housing.
With something, right.
Not that that's possible, because they don't even have housing for all the people that we have here that are homeless. So, you know, you got to be careful there. How can you oppose an application? I suppose you can go that there are no grounds for eviction if the owner's just had enough of you and wants you out, or he's got a higher rental, like I said. You get that type of situation. Personal circumstances, you know, your personal circumstances are such that it'll have a negative effect on you and your family. You can oppose it asking for more time, and invariably they will give you more time. You know, that's the same thing, not only personal. It's just say you have somebody sick and you had to spend your money on that and you haven't paid rental for that. The court may come to your assistance, and also the fact that there's no alternative in accommodation. So if you do something, you've got a notice of motion to eject you, see a lawyer, tell him to oppose it. He'll draw up papers. They'll submit the reasons in a proper and full affidavit and sort it out. So, you know, you get an opposing affidavit that sets out fully what the position is and why you can't move immediately and what you're going to do to rectify the situation. So that's opposing one, which you must make sure that you're aware of and ready for. And, you know, don't just be in arrears for a large amount and just continue living there because you can't find anything or you're unemployed. You know, you need to be fair. The magistrate or the judge will look at both sides as well. So have a look at that. The other common thing that's crept in these days is people just cut off the water and lights of the tenant. Totally illegal, unless in your agreement you have something that says no payment, no water and lights or something like that. So if you provide a house with water and lights and you know, they don't pay the monthly amount, you can't just cut off. You've got to put it into the agreement. You know, the nice thing about living in a complex is that you can say you can only pay, you know, you'll only be able to purchase water and lights on condition that your levies are up to date or your rental is up to date. So beware of that. But it must be put into agreement. You know, the eviction is such a unemployment has just led to so many people that are not paying their rental. You know, I think that they if I'm not mistaken, Wayne, it's excessive, in excess of 5,000 people per month throughout South Africa that are have applications brought against them to evict or eject them, whichever one you say. So, you know, the PIE Act is there to protect those people, unfortunately, and the Constitution protects them. You know, you've got to be careful. I think it's, if I'm not mistaken, I think it's Section 26 of the Constitution that I mentioned earlier that says everyone has a right to have access to housing, and that the state must take reasonable measures to ensure the provision of that particular right, as mentioned in the Act. And nobody has, no one may be evicted from their home or their home demolished without an order of court after considering. So arbitrary evictions are not a possibility in terms of our constitution.
Yes.
You know, you can't say, oh, I'm going to mow down the house because I'm going to build a new beach house, or I'm going to put a complex in place and that type of thing. The constitution prevents from doing that. So what about when your landlord is in breach? I mean, that often happens as well, you know. You know, failure to get into a situation where the landlord doesn't do the upkeep of the house, the painting of the house, fair wear and tear has got so bad that you can't live in it. You know, you know, so what is the position? What can the tenant do? Yeah, the tenant also has the right to, you know, bring an application and try and get sorted. But, I mean, that hardly happens. I mean, you know, the good homeowner, you will, you know, come to the party and sort out things. But, yeah, the main thing is normally the breach of the tenant. And just make sure you follow the right procedure. You know, you can lodge your eviction application once you've sent the necessary letter of demand. So don't delay the demand. Don't delay the letter. Don't delay going to see the tenant to try and sort out.
Because I suppose the longer you delay it, the longer the whole process kind of drags out.
That's exactly it. You know, you think, I'll do it next month. I've spoken to them. Often I get people that phone you and say, can we just add you into a letter I'm sending to the tenant? And then you see the person and you say, did you sort out with the tenant? No, I must come see you. It's another whole month gone by and now.
It rolls.
And another month in the rear, you know, that type of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, it's one of those things.
And
eviction is a...
It's a tricky,
a hell of a thing.
Right. Yeah. And Peter, a question which ties into what you've mentioned, and you have touched on it in terms of the Constitution with certain sections actually preventing eviction, especially from land, etc. And maybe this is a little bit too complex to cover in the time that we've got left. But a case that Praza was involved with down in the Western Cape that stems back to the period of COVID, where the railway line network was not being used because trains weren't running during COVID. And then what happened was that squatters literally went and built their houses on railway lines and in the railway reserves. Now, Now Praza wants to start running trains again, but there are now houses in their way. And they could not actually move these people. Now, my question is, I understand what the Constitution says in terms of you can't just evict, etc., etc., and that we fully understand. But where does the line get drawn between that section of the Constitution and the greater good of, let's say, the nation, where the nation and its people are being compromised by a group of people who are hiding behind the Constitution and actually occupying a piece of land illegally?
Yeah. Well, you know, that's a very interesting case. I have read about it in our reports that come from our law society. And so, you know, the prevention of illegal squatters is so broad. Like you say, it could be a chat of its own. You know, you got to be very careful. You take the farmers, for example, where people come and squat on their farms.
Right.
Or you take, I mean, I know of one person that elected during COVID to allow squatters to come onto his farm. He was charging them 500 rand each.
Uh-huh.
He's now got out of hand. He makes a fortune out of the 500 rand each.
Mm.
But you've got a situation where he now has so many people on the farm, he doesn't know what to do with it. And, you know, people often query what's happened to the sewage and all the rest of it. You know, where's the running water and that type of thing. But, yes, exactly what you're talking about is that they've now got to follow the proper procedure. It is a court case that was brought, and I'm not sure if it's been finalized yet. I know they want to put the trains back up and running, and I think they've been ordered to find a settlement area to move the people to at their cost because they didn't provide for it at the time or prevent it.
Okay.
You know, don't quote me, but I think that's what's happened in that case that you're talking about.
Yeah. Right. But it's so, just,
and that would be the norm. The norm would be that if you were squatting on illegal land, you know, you would have a right to oppose it, to say, you know, there was nobody on the land, it was bare, it wasn't being used, we had no housing, we established ourselves and we've been left there for the 3-4 years of COVID without anybody visiting. But also one would then be able to come along and say, you know, it was COVID, we weren't allowed out, we didn't notice them at the beginning.
Yeah.
As soon as we noticed them, we came back and we asked them to move. So dates and times are very important in situations like that.
Yeah,
it's the same if you have somebody squatting on your land, if you've got a plot somewhere, don't say, oh, I haven't been to my plot for 5 years, and you get there and you find that, you know, there are a whole lot of people on the land. You also get these settlements where people go and get from the headman a site.
Yeah.
And then how often don't I have people coming in here where the headman sold it to two people because he sold it to somebody 3 years ago they never developed. So he just resold
it.
They resell it, and then you find a person comes along, and all of a sudden when a new buyer's on the land, he gets to hear of it, and he goes and he bashes down the home or smashes the windows and that are on site to be built into the home. So, housing is a hell of a thing, and honestly, there are just so many things you've got to watch carefully in that regard. Mm.
So, in other words, if you and you know, just once again touching on that same topic, we had a similar scenario on the final approach area for the East London Airport, for the King Paulo Airport, where land that had been earmarked for possible future airport development has been overrun with informal settlements. And once again, the same, exactly the same problem.
Same problem. It's there. I mean, you're never going to move those people outside the airport boundary.
So it's a case of, as you say, if you see something going wrong on your land, you need to deal with it straight away. And
sort it out immediately. And don't keep record, in trouble.
And keep record of all your processes and interactions.
That's it. Be careful.
Well, Peter, thank you very, very much. Of course, if somebody wants to reach you, you at Alam's Attorneys are pretty accessible on various methods.
Facebook is the easiest. Just add a SPR surname, A-L-L-A-M-S, Alam's, and you'll find all our details. Mm. We're situated at 6 Sansom Road in Vincent, a little side street where Pep Stores is. And they can get us on 043-7211-018.
Great. Peter, thank you very much. And of course, this chat will be on our website later today as well and on your channels. And looking forward to chatting again next week, Monday.
Thanks, Wayne.
Thanks, Peter.
See you next week.
Cheerio then. Peter Alam with today's Legal Eagle chat.